T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, we have Grover on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. And, Bob, I'm going to start you off with this today. What do you think the Penguins think they need at the trade deadline? I'll ask you about your opinion coming up, but what do you think Ron Hextall and Brian Burke think their team needs before 3 p.m. Monday?
Well, based on what they've said, they're looking for a center, preferably, to play down in the bottom six, and someone with size and who's physical. I mean, that's what they've said. They've said it repeatedly. So I assume that's what they're still looking for. I don't see a ton of centers that are out there like that. Maybe some wingers. But I think, you know, I get what they're saying. We've talked all along about what when we get to what I think they need. I mean, even though Jankowski's played much better the last few weeks, he's still a guy I would be looking to, in a position as fourth line center to upgrade. Now the question is Goudreau that upgrade? So if he is, maybe the physical player you want to go out and get is a winger. That's a potential. I'm not completely wedded to the, you know, we need a big physical guy who's going to go throw his weight around. But I am saying you can look at the fourth line, but that's been a weak spot for me all season long. Everybody's healthy, but look at what Goudreau's added. And, you know, we'll see what Zahorna, you know, what consistency you can get out of him. He's only played 4 games, but my God, he's looked really good. We'll see what it looks like going on from here, but I still expect they're going to add a bottom six forward.
Bob, I was going to ask you about the new Horny, if you will. I guess they call him Z. You don't see guys that big with that kind of athleticism very often, do you? I've been just really impressed watching what he can do at his size.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is definitely, it's an unusual combination of size and skill. For sure. When you're 6'6", I mean, that's a whole nother level. I mean, let's face it, you don't get too many forwards who are 6'6". You'll get your share of defensemen who are 6'6", 6'7". You know, we've had Hal Gill here, you know, Steve McKenna, who played a little bit of forward and D for the Penguins. But not too many guys with that skill level and that size. Now, granted, it's only 4 games. I mean, that's the thing about it. He's looked really good to me. You know, I keep coming back to, you know, you just need to see more. That's all. You need to see more. How does he adjust? If you start giving him more playing time, how does he adjust when people get in his face, which will happen? He's not played hardly many games at all in North America on a smaller rink. But, I mean, Sullivan's been impressed with the way he's adjusted. So he's a complete wild card right now for where he fits in. Is he defensively responsible night after night? Hasn't been an issue for me yet. He's passed the puck well. We've seen his shot. We've seen his ability to go to the net last night. It was really impressive. So far, so good. But, I mean, it's just like, Joseph. We started the year great. And then, you know, after 6, 7, 8 games, his play leveled off a bit. Not bad, but just leveled off a bit to the point where they sent him back. So you need to see more.
Ron, do you mind if I indulge Grover in a quick game of free association?
No, it's always a highlight for me, Joe. Go for it.
All right. I like that. So, Grover, we have the trade deadline Monday at 3. I'm going to read you some guys who are on the block here. Your part is to say yes or no whether you would be interested in these guys if you were the Penguins, and then give a very, very quick comment. Agreed?
Okay. We're not worrying about salary.
No, it varies from guy to guy. It does. But yeah, we'll just say, you know, realizing that salary could be a factor. You ready?
Yep.
Ryan Getzlaf.
Yes, interested. Burke knows him, and yeah, I'd be interested in him.
Ricard Raquel, same team from the Ducks.
Well, he's a guy that a couple of years ago I said the Penguins should go out and get. I still feel his play over the last couple of years has wavered a bit, but this is a guy who I think is still underrated and underappreciated. He brings some real skill. I'm not sure the Penguins need that kind of guy right now, given the way some of the other guys are playing, but I love Raquel. I think he's a very good player.
Nick Foligno.
There's another guy I love. Love his approach. He's no nonsense. Gives you everything he's got every single game. He can play for me any day.
Luke Glendening.
You know, I'm not a huge fan. He's not a bad player. He's, you know, he'll hit you, and he's responsible defensively. So as a bottom six guy with a lot of experience, he would fit. But, you know, I don't really have a strong feeling about him.
All right, before I turn this interview over to Ron for a couple of questions, I'm going to give you two defensemen because I happen to believe that they could use some size and physicality on the left side on defense. And I'm going to give you two guys here. One you know well, Jamie Oleksiak. The other, yep, the Penguins have been linked to before, and that's Nikita Zadorov from the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I'm not so much on Zadorov, but I liked Oleksiak a lot, and it was not. I felt like the Penguins could have found a way to keep him. I've always liked what he brought. And he had a little bit of offense to his game, if you remember. He actually contributed a bit there toward the end of his time with the Penguins. So if you can find a way to get Oleksiak back, I'd be all for it.
Ron, that was fun.
Bob, you know, have they? Did you feel a little better about their defensive game after those two nightmarish games, the one in Boston, one against the Rangers? Do you think from what you saw last night they've kind of figured things out again?
Yeah, I'm not quite there, Ron, to be honest with you. Look, everybody has their nights, you know. I mean, didn't you know, Colorado just leaked in eight the other night, and they're arguably a Stanley Cup finalist. One of the best teams in the league for sure. So it happens. So you take the Boston game and you just throw it out and say, okay, whatever. But then you come into New York and you leak in eight the night after. That's not good. And last night was, yes, it was better, but let's face it, it had to be better, right? There was nowhere to go but up after the first game against the Rangers. And let's also say this. The Rangers missed two incredible wide-open nets that could have changed the whole complexion of the game because they like to run and gun. They're not good enough defensively. They've got to learn how to pick their spots on that kind of a game because they're not ready to play it and win consistently for me. But last night's game could have been different. So better last night, but they still have a ways to go to get back to where they were playing. And it's just a mystery to me how they could be playing so well defensively for so long, weeks really, and just have it completely, the bottom just drop out in Boston in the second period and stay that way for the next five periods. It was just weird.
Why, Bob? Why did it happen? I mean, the goaltending wasn't as good. You know, I didn't think Jari was tested very much last night. He did have the penalty shot that he had to stop. I mean, do you put more of the blame on the goaltending, the forwards, the defense, all of it, I guess, when you're that bad, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, look, the goalies weren't anywhere near good enough in either game, but that could be said of most of the guys, of the way they played away from the puck. I mean, it was just all the old things came back in. Defensive breakdowns, coverage mistakes in front of the net, giving up a goal and then turn around and giving up another one within a minute or two. It was stuff we saw earlier this season. So they all had to share in it, and it wasn't good, and the goaltending was not good in either game. But both of those guys have been good. Like I said, to some degree, look, they're not robots. They're going to have their nights like this. But when you put two of those in a row together, it just was very strange to me that they couldn't get refocused. And, you know, now there's a chance here with all these games coming up against a Devils team that's just cashed it all in and said, you know, we're just playing our young guys and getting them experience. How can you use your steady defensive play to help shut them down? Because, look, you think about the guys they moved. Those guys always kill the Penguins when they play the Devils.
I think I asked you something to this effect last week, Grover, but I'm going to test your brain again. When and if the Penguins are ever healthy, what would your line combinations be? Assuming Rust, Gensel, and Sid as the top line, where do you go from there if they're all healthy?
Well, okay, if they're all healthy, which, as we said, is a rarity, you'd have Kapanen with Malkin, and I think you'd probably say McCann at this point. And okay. if Sullivan, look, Sullivan said nothing that leads me to believe he doesn't want Bluger, Tanev, and Aston Reese to stay together. He seems like that's an absolute. So if you're going to use those as a defensive shutdown line and guys to help solidify your defensive game, that's your third line. And so now you're left with, are you going to pick somebody up to play center, or is it going to be Jankowski, which I don't think it'll be? Is Goudreau the center, perhaps? And then you'd have Zucker playing on the fourth line with Rodriguez. So the issue there for me is, look, if I had to pick between McCann and Zucker right now, if everybody was healthy, yes, I would play McCann ahead of Zucker, because Zucker for me has underperformed a bit, not a ton, but a bit. You know, he's had some injuries too. I love his speed on the forecheck. I wish he would shoot the puck more than he does. But if you're going to play Zucker on your fourth line, this is a guy, remember, you gave up a first-round pick for. If you're going to play him down there, are you happy with him getting, you know, I don't know, 7-8 minutes a night at 5-on-5 with a little bit of second unit power play time? Is that enough for him to have any kind of impact on your playoff ability? I'm asking the question because I'm not sure that it is. So, you know, if you're going to play him down there, how can he help you play in those kinds of minutes? It's something to think about.
Bob, which of these young guys, these guys that are getting a chance here, the Gaudreaus and the Lafferty's and the Zahornas, and I guess Angelo is hurt a little bit now, which one would be the hardest one for you to take out of the lineup?
Well, again, I love Zahorna, but I need to see more. You know, Angelo's been good at what he's been doing. Lafferty's been playing a bit better. I'd still like to see him chip in a little bit more offensively. He's done it a little bit more than that. So I'm looking at all those guys. But for me, Goudreau's the guy you got. The way Goudreau's playing right now and his ability to help you kill penalties, and their penalty kill it's still bad. I mean, it's something they better get this fixed, and he can help them fix it, whereas these other guys I'm talking about can't. So finding a place for Goudreau to help your 5-on-5 production in the bottom six and be a factor in the penalty kill, and they need Tanev back, obviously, to help them with that, I think gives Goudreau, you know, a little bit of an edge over all those other guys. And he's not a youngster, to get back to your question, but, you know, Angelo and Lafferty have been okay for me for what they do, but I want to see a little bit more from both of them, especially from Lafferty. We know that the guy has a little bit more offense in his game, and he still seems to be predisposed to taking a few too many penalties for me.
Grover, great stuff, as it always is when you join us. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!